From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch thanking you for joining with us on today's program. During the next half hour, Dr. Cairns will address an important issue facing God's people in these days. In addition, there will be some Christ-honoring musical selections. Most important, however, will be the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. Dr. Cairns today returns to the fifth chapter of John's Gospel as he continues with the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hearing about the healing of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, and in this particular instance, we are called to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in the showing of his compassion to this helpless man. First of all, Dr. Cairns will deal with today's hot topic, Muslim terrorists held for the 2002 murder of Christians.
Police in Pakistan have arrested 8 Islamic terrorists with Al-Qaeda links for 10 murders of Christians. On August 5, 2002, terrorists attacked a school for the children of foreign missionaries and killed 6 schoolchildren. 4 days later, they launched a grenade attack on a church at a hospital near Islamabad and killed 4 nurses. A police spokesman said that the suspects were caught as they were plotting another attack. Those arrested were members of Sunni Muslim terror groups linked to Al-Qaeda. They are led by Muslim clerics who are veterans of the 1980s Taliban campaign against the Soviets and who are currently engaged in supplying suicide bombers and explosives to the Taliban in their fight to reconquer Afghanistan. It will be interesting to see if the charges of murdering Christians can be made to stick. We must remember that despite all its support of United States policy in Afghanistan, which is welcome, Pakistan is a Muslim country with a serious record of atrocities against Christians. Recently, a Christian man was sentenced to death on a charge of seeking to convert Muslims. Thus, for any Christian to practice his faith or introduce it to those around him, people he believes are perishing and in desperate need of Christ, to do this is to court a capital criminal charge. That leads me to think that the recent arrests had less to do with the murder of Christians in 2002 than with the current political and security situation in Pakistan. Though militant Islamists have never gained more than 12% support in national elections, they have the power to hold the country to ransom and have, to all intents and purposes, gained control of the part of the country that borders Afghanistan. They pose a real threat to the stability of the current government. I think it's much more likely that the authorities have moved against the Sunni terrorists on this score than through any desire to gain justice for the murdered Christians. All of this should remind us that in many parts of the world, God's people are living under the heel of vicious persecution. Many have been slain for their faith. Many more have been imprisoned, and many have been tortured. When we read of the war on terror and of the fanatical fury of suicide bombers, let us never forget that we have brethren and sisters in Christ who are seeking to serve the Savior in those hot beds of violence. Our nation, rightly, has established working relationships with Muslim nations, such as Pakistan, nations that share our interest in crushing the threat of Islamic terrorism. But we need to bring it home to those nations that they can't fight the terrorists on one front and ignore them on another. In plain speech, they cannot allow terrorists to attack and kill Christians at home and hope to quell their extremism abroad. They cannot accommodate their religious terrorism and think that they can contain their political terrorism. It's time that Christians were given their rights in Muslim countries. That would be both a blow against terrorism and a boon for the countries involved.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation, and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, a little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stand, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there is any way in which we can help you, please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. So you see, it's really easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. It's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Turning again this morning to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John as we continue with our studies in the life of Christ. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us the most detailed exposition, and indeed revelation of His person that you will find anywhere in the New Testament, or indeed anywhere in Scripture. What makes this outstanding is first that, for the most part, He is giving this revelation not to His disciples in the closeness, say, of the inner circle. You find in later in John, from John 13 onwards, you've got a wonderful self-revelation of Christ to His disciples. But here this is mostly given to people who were His enemies. And secondly, it is amazing to find that in a chapter that emphasizes Christ disclosing Himself in a unique way, we have constant reminders of the fact that He was not recognized. He was not known. He was among a people who were blind. If ever the words of John the Baptist were fulfilled, you'll find them fulfilled in this chapter. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. And indeed one among them whom they really had little or no heart to know. So as I pointed out last Sabbath morning, the subject of this chapter, quite simply, is the unknown Christ revealing Himself at an unnamed feast. I'm not going to get into the unnamed feast again this morning and the importance of trying to discover which feast it was. We're not going to return to that. But at this unnamed feast, The unknown Christ revealed himself in a wonderful way. There are three closely related events in this chapter. Through them, the Lord Jesus reveals his glory, his person, and some aspects of his work. The first we will notice is the healing that he performed. Again, we have looked at this somewhat already. But let me remind you that this was a wonderful miracle. Now, you'd have to say of every miracle, it's a wonderful miracle. But this is a miracle that stands out in some ways as unique in the New Testament. The circumstances of this miracle have no parallel anywhere else in the ministry of Christ, and certainly not in the ministry of the apostles. When you read this miracle of the Lord Jesus coming to this man who was sitting at the pool of Bethesda, he had been ill. You would imagine by the wording here that he was either paralyzed or heavily handicapped physically. Certainly his movements were vastly restricted. He had been in this case 38 years. Now, don't read that too quickly. Unless the Lord has got into a man's heart and life and given him special grace, this man must have been in a place of absolute dejection. Have you ever seen somebody paralyzed 38 years needing to be lifted and led? Have you ever talked to somebody like that? I have. I remember very well my dad in his old age went into what you would here call a veterans hospital for a few weeks to give him a place while the internals of his house were all being renovated. Being old and perverse, and most of all being Cairns, when he got there, he liked it so much he wouldn't go back home. It's much better here, more people to do what I want here. It was a very old hospital, but a very good one. A large ward, about 30 ex-servicemen, mostly from the First World War. But as you came in the door, the first or second bed, there was a man, now an old man. He was a Norwegian, if I remember rightly, certainly Scandinavian. Spoke with a very, very, very thick accent. Just after World War II, he was in a shipping disaster. He was pulled out of the water more dead than alive. And since Belfast was the nearest port, they took him in. And there he lay, and this was 37 years later. Paralyzed. The wonderful thing is God saved that man. And there was no bitterness. There was no frustration. There was no anger. And through the thick Norwegian accent, he did his best from that bed to witness for Christ. But I want to tell you, as I looked at that man and thought of him, a young man, now an old man, without the special grace of God, your spirit would be broken. Don't read these 38 years too glibly. The man that was lying here was hopeless. This was the only place he could expect anything good to happen to him. But it couldn't. Because when the waters were stirred, he didn't have a single friend to be with them. So not only sick, not only paralyzed, but friendless and hopeless. And the Lord Jesus comes with the strangest sounding question ever he could have heard, certainly one that he didn't expect anybody to ask him. Man, are you willing to be made whole? The Lord Jesus not only asked the question, but he gave the miracle. And what a miracle! Because by his own word, by the sheer power of his own will and word, he commands him to rise and take up his bed and walk, and immediately the man was made whole. Let me emphasize to you that this is not a pious story. Let me emphasize to you that this is not some parable. This is not some sound, good religious myth to get over to us some spiritual truth. It bears spiritual truth because this is historical reality. There was a day when the Son of God manifested in the flesh, actually came to the five porches of the Pool of Bethesda, spied this man, spoke to this man, commanded his healing, and immediately he was made whole. Immediately he was made whole. What a miracle. It demonstrates the compassion of Christ. Who has a heart for the helpless and the hopeless like the heart of Jesus? I would to God we had. I don't want to get off on a tangent because I have a long way to go this morning. But I do need us to get beyond merely intellectualizing the Word of God and saying, nodding our heads at the right places, we believe it and we're orthodox. Well, hell is orthodox. There's no heretics in hell. They were heretics on earth probably, but not now in hell. They all believe the truth. There's nobody more orthodox than the devil himself. The scripture tells us he believes and trembles. It's not just being orthodox enough to nod our heads at the right places. We're looking here at a Savior who had a heart for the poor and the weary and the lost and the hopeless and the helpless and the sinners and the needy. He had compassion. He loved them. His heart overflowed toward them. He did not harden his heart. And what's more, nobody in the history of the world believed more and knew more of the doctrine and the truth of God's predestinating, electing, decreeing purpose. But he never hid behind that as an excuse not to have a passion for the poor and the needy. God help us. Reformed, Calvinistic, Bible-believing Protestants who have all our T's crossed and our I's dotted. We're intellectual nitwits, but we think we know a lot. We hide behind the decrees of God to cover a filthy, hard heart. May God forgive us. I read these stories of some of the old Methodist preachers, and their theology left a lot to be desired in places, though they held to the heart of the gospel. And when I read them, I say, I would to God I had what those men had. We have sung the hymn, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. But when do we weep o'er the erring? When does our heart break over the weak and the hopeless and the helpless? We can look at them and dismiss them. It's all their fault. Well, sure, it's all their fault. Just as your sin's all your fault. But if God dealt with us as we deal with them, we would already be in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ shows His compassion.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.